Stanley Johnson has a problem. He is the lead character in an old LendingTree commercial. Perhaps you remember it. It opens with Stanley flashing a bright smile as he shows off his spacious four-bedroom home that backs onto the golf course where he's a member, with a wonderful pool and a great neighborhood and a really, really cool car. Stanley is turning steaks on the grill, and he smiles again. How do I do it? I'm in debt up to my eyeballs. I can barely make my financial charges. Somebody help me. Poor Stanley. Well, it's financial stewardship season at University Church, and I thought of Stanley. I know that financial stewardship season ranks right up there for many of you with colonoscopies and root canals. I was talking with a pastor friend yesterday, and she was coming up to San Antonio, and she said, maybe I'll come up and visit you at church. And she said, are you going to preach a good sermon? And I said, well, it's kind of our financial. And she said, oh, no, I'll go somewhere else. So thank you for being here. I have no idea where this season catches you. I mean, I hope it's not quite as messy as Stanley. I hope you'll listen this morning. I'm going to be sharing some of Wesley's ideas about giving. And that's the earn, save, give thing that you've seen in the mail and around and in different places. And it's not maybe exactly what you think it is. So I hope that you'll listen. And I hope that you will hear today what you most need to hear and that you will get what you most need to get in your own life. Money and finances can be such anxiety-provoking topics. And so I'm hoping today that I will provoke you, not to more anxiety, but to generosity and to joy in giving. So where can Stanley find help? Poor Stanley. Because it's Children's Sunday, I was thinking about my kids and money, and I still remember when my kids were much younger, and we would be at the store, and they would ask us for something, and we would say to them, we don't have any money for that, right? We don't have enough money, or whatever you say to your kids. Well, one time Lauren said, why don't you just go to the big metal box? And my wife and I looked at each other like, the what? Wondering if we had somehow missed this magical treasure chest that was in our home somewhere. And she continued, you know, the big box where mommy puts the card in and the money comes out. Why don't you go there and just get money? Oh, yes, that big box. Okay, honey, we need to talk about where money comes from, okay? Last summer, Linda and I were fortunate to go on a Wesley pilgrimage in England. It was this great refresher course that just brought Methodism alive for us as we visited all these different places. We visited Wesley's birthplace at the Epworth Parsonage. Have any of you been to Wesley's birth? Yeah, a few of you have. It's still standing. The church he and Charles grew up in. And, you know, you're in this church and they're like, well, here's the communion cup that they took their first communion with or whatever. And they're just like passing it around and we're getting our fingerprints. It seemed kind of odd to me. We went to Oxford College where they went to school. And which, by the way, at that time in the summer was absolutely mobbed by Harry Potter fans. Because Hogwarts is part of it modeled after Oxford College. We stopped in churches where Wesley preached. One church had been turned into a rather nice bar that served Guinness, and it was really beautiful. And we stood near where Wesley experienced his heartwarming conversion experience, which is now a giant mall. And we paused in silence before the bed that Wesley died in. The bed that Wesley died in. We were in that room. And other than all of that stuff, I mean, the other marvel of the trip was the range of mission and activity of those early Methodists. Hospitals that they built and charities they started and missions to the poor and job training. And I think I even sent you a piece, Janice, about where they were offering what the equivalent of microloans at that time. How did they do this? How did they create all this stuff? I mean, the early Methodists were preaching mostly to the poor. They certainly had some wealthy benefactors, although Wesley tended to be pretty hard on the rich in his preaching, and he bragged to his friends that if a rich person walked into the room, he would change his sermon text to that one about, you know, it's harder to get through the camel and all that, the camel through the eye of the needle. And so, how did they do it? Well, the way they did it was, actually, you know the way they did it. If you saw the first campaign cartoon, thank you, John, you know how they did it. Having first gained all you can and secondly saved all you can, then give all you can. It sounds kind of like financial advice, right? And parts of it have been used by financial planners, but it's really, I think, deep wisdom for living. In a sermon at Riverside Church, Bill Coffin once had the guts to say on Pledge Sunday that if he were out there in the pew, he might wonder testily why churches always have to spoil everything by harping constantly on the need for more money. Coffin said, we define stewardship too narrowly. What we need to keep the church up and running. When stewardship is actually the goal of life itself. Listen to our reading again this morning. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Stewardship is not just about offering plates, something that we church folks do on Sunday morning while the choir sings a beautiful anthem. Stewardship is a full-time calling for the whole human species. It's what we are here on this planet to do, to be good stewards of God's grace. Amen? Okay, so how do we do it? Number one. This may be the first time that I ever actually call out the numbers on a three-point sermon, okay? Wesley says, we earn all we can. And God's people said, duh. I mean, really? Earn all you can? This is deep wisdom? Okay, so stay with me for a minute. Wesley is not saying that we earn all we can by every means we can and all the ways we can and every place we can. That's another Wesley quote, okay? That's being used a lot by one of our presidential campaigners. If you read Wesley, you will not find anywhere Wesley endorsing the aggressive consumerism that we find in much of American society. It's just not there. When we were visiting our daughter in Fort Lauderdale before the hurricane, we tried to go see a movie at Sawgrass Mills Mall. It is one of the largest malls, I found out, on the planet. 350 stores. Can you imagine? 440 acres. For someone like me who hates malls, it was like being in purgatory. And it's shaped like an alligator, which that ought to be your first clue, right? It is there to eat you alive. This is consumerism run amok. For Wesley, we gain all we can when we participate in God's healing and redemptive work in the world. That's what it means. Ah, that's a little different spin, isn't it? He warned against earning money in ways that would hurt or exploit others. And so our very work, what we choose as our work, that is part of our giving. I remember a conversation with a young grad student a couple of years ago. She was active in our congregation and she wanted to come in and talk with me about her future. And she said, I have these two choices and I'm trying to decide between them. I can work for a company whose values I don't support, but this company will completely fund my doctorate and pay a stipend in addition. Or I can go to a traditional doctoral program and I will have some substantial debt after it's over. Partway through the conversation, she stopped and said, you know, I already know what to do. I mean, I think I just needed to say it out loud to you. I can't imagine working for a company that would hurt other people. And so off she went to grad school. Okay, so take note, good people of University United Methodist Church, just by being here, simply by supporting a church that is unafraid to talk about those issues that you all, that drew you here, those issues of peace and of justice, you make a difference in the lives of folks that I would say is largely unknown to most of us, but nonetheless profound. You do not know all of the good that you are doing. So earn all you can. And save all you can. And I know you're not going to push the duh button because you know that Wesley has something up his sleeve. He does. Wesley's not talking about stashing money away in savings accounts and retirement accounts and IRAs, which were unknown at that time. He was talking about simplifying the way we live. Wesley's lists of things that we shouldn't buy would make our skin crawl. Expensive furniture and clothing, entertainment, unnecessary food, and books. Books, why are books? Whatever. Elegant gardens. Wesley learned when he was at Oxford that he could live on 28 pounds a year. When he earned 30 pounds, he gave away two. When he earned 120 pounds, he gave away 92 pounds. He wrote this to his sister, "Money never stays with me. It would bum me if it did." That's a little British expression. "I throw it out of my hands as soon as possible, lest it should find its way into my heart." If I truly preached like Wesley on money, I would be tarred and feathered after the service. Saving all you can means choosing not to have some things. It means having a budget, not just so that you save for the future, but to see if your money is going in the same direction as your heart. It means recognizing there's a connection between how we in the West spend money and poverty in the rest of the world. Okay, have you had enough of John Wesley? You ready for the third one? We've got to go to the third one, right? Because that's the most important one. We gain all we can, and we save all we can so that we can give all we can. Exactly. Wesley understands this. When we give of ourselves, when we give of our gifts, we are participating in the very nature of God. God's nature is love. There's a Charles Wesley hymn that basically says that. The giving of abundant and full life freely to everyone, to all creatures. The emptying of God's self in love on behalf of others. God's job is love. I read recently about a pastor, kind of a friend, who was challenged by a wealthy member in his congregation. It was stewardship season, and the member, let's just call him Jim, came up to the pastor after worship and said, "You know, you talk about the joy of giving and you talk about the difference that giving makes in your life." He said, "You know, quite frankly, I give a lot to the church, but it doesn't really make any difference in my life. Giving to the church for me is just like paying another bill. It's like paying the bill for the health club." To his credit, the pastor suggested that perhaps Jim was not giving enough. Jim was offended, but instead of walking away and never coming back, he decided that he would test what his pastor said. So he upped his giving considerably, but he also began teaching in a Sunday school class, and he began helping in the food bank. A year or so later, he came back to his pastor and said, "You were right." I dearly hope that that pastor wrote that down that day, because so often we don't get to hear those words, right? "You were right, Pastor John, when you said all those mean, ugly things to me. No. When you told me the truth, you were right." He said, I'm having so much fun giving away my money and giving my heart and my time. I think I feel more joy because it's impossible to be grouchy and generous at the same time. True story. So my brothers and sisters in Christ, earn all you can. Save all you can. And give all you can. And may you find in the meantime that by the grace of God, you have received the most precious gift of all. The gift of a joyful, hopeful, generous life. Thanks be to God who gives us grace. Amen.